Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, will you open with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter now, and looking to the 17th verse and following. In verses 14, leading up to this passage, Jesus found a mute and drove demons out of him so that he was well. And those around said that Jesus cured him by Beelzebub. And so in the 17th verse, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusts and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather scatters." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us close to you, that you would guide us, Father, that we would be willing to stand strong for you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What if there was an election, and you had an election, it started out, there were a whole bunch of people to choose from on one side. On the other side, well, you have the incumbent, and so the incumbent's who you got to choose. As they work through the process, of course, they fall one by one, and for all kinds of reasons, they just kind of fall away. Interestingly enough, as they fall away, you're left with two. You look at those two. You listen to those two. You scratch your head, and you don't really want either one of them. What are you going to do? It's a confusing thought. And, you know, the one that had all the big group, and they come down to one, decides that they're going to use all the philosophies of all the people they didn't want in the office. And so you've got a choice. And some say, well, I don't like the choice, and so I'm just going to stay neutral. I just won't vote for anybody. My friend, when you don't vote for anybody, you elect whoever is elected. May I say, there is a choice. And in my world, my choice is very simple. I don't know about your choice. You know, personalities come and go. Individuals you may like or dislike. But when people stand on issues, those are the things that should guide your thoughts. Now, we will not always have a time, I'm afraid, in our country where you can stand against killing babies. But in this election, you have a choice. You take a stand with people that are for abortion. You take a stand with people that are against abortion. For me, that's my choice. I could not be neutral. I encourage you not to be neutral. The Bible encourages you not to be neutral, especially in the area of choosing God. Our challenge in this world is not to be neutral, is to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Now, in this passage we examine today, Jesus is busy doing what he always did. He's reaching out to people. He's making life better for people. There was a man who could not speak. And so that man had a possessed demon. Jesus goes and he takes the demon out of the man, and immediately the man is able to speak. You would think that people would be excited. You would think that people would immediately acknowledge the fact that Jesus has more power than evil. He is of God, and they would bow down before him. But instead of bowing down before him, before understanding that he is the Messiah, that he is Jesus, he is Almighty God, they seek to reason it away. In verse 15, but some of them said, he cast out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. You know, today we pray, we see God move, we've got plenty of evidence for God moving. There are people in this room that can attest to the fact that they've had prayers answered and they've seen God move in their own lives. I am thankful for that movement of God. But instead of giving God credit, sometimes people will say, you were just lucky. You know, they would rather trust in luck than trust in prayer. They refuse divine intervention. Instead, they just speak of coincidences. And you probably have heard someone say, it just seems the more I pray, the more coincidences I have. There are people that come face to face with Almighty God, face to face with God's move, face to face with the reality there is a God, and they want to say, they're going to stay neutral about him. Jesus, in this passage, performs a miracle that only God could accomplish. Instead of believing that he is God, they make an accusation. Instead of accepting the miracle as being God's work, they say that it is the devil's work. When people refuse to accept the working of Almighty God, they become just like these folks. If you will not stand for Jesus, then you stand for the opposition. If you will not accept Jesus, then you accept the only other spiritual force out there. Jesus speaks of illogical reasoning in verses 17 and 18. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Anytime that you stand against Jesus, anytime you take an opposition stand to God's word, you are guilty of illogical reasoning. They were ready to believe that there was a spiritual power, but they were not ready to accept that that was God in front of them. It's like those folks that just want to accept luck, accept karma, but try to leave God out. It makes no sense. In this case, it made no sense. Why would Satan fight against Satan? It's important to note here, when you read this passage of Scripture, that the people believed in Satan. But it's also important to note, as you read this Scripture, that Jesus believed in Satan. You see, the devil is a reality. The Scripture reveals that there are spiritual forces, and there are spiritual forces of God, and there are spiritual forces that stand against God. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus makes it clear he's not on the same side as the devil. They said this miracle of Jesus was by the power of Beelzebub. Beelzebub, there's a name for you. Beelzebub is the chief of demons. The name comes from Aramaic. It actually means Lord of the Flies. Well, in Jewish thought, Beelzebub was the chief demon. In Jewish thought, Beelzebub was the leader of all evil forces under Satan. They believed Beelzebub was the one that led people to choose against God and to choose to worship idols. Even Satan is smart enough not to divide his own powers, to have his own powers work against himself. Jesus then turned to their illogical reasoning, and he turned it on themselves. in verse 19. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, shall they be your judges? The Jews, you see, had their own exorcist. And some of the exorcists were sons of the individuals that were standing against Jesus. And so Jesus uses their own reasoning and says, if you say if I stand against this demon, I'm standing and working for Beelzebub, then your sons must be working against for Beelzebub. And that put them in a place that they didn't want to be in. People will use all kinds of illogical reasoning to keep from acknowledging the simple truth that Jesus is Almighty God. They will try to push him away. Jesus is God's answer to Satan, sin, and death. In the United States, we have illogical reasoning. Boy, do we have illogical reasoning. In the United States, the base unit that has made our nation great is the family. We have been built by strong families, by a family unit. Now, the base family unit, base of that family unit, involves a husband and a wife, a marriage. And so what has our nation done? In illogical reasoning, we've tried to destroy marriage. We've destroyed marriage by saying that marriage is not between a man and a woman. Marriage can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. You don't have to jump far from that to have marriage between a man and a broomstick. I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, when you take reason out of the picture, the illogical rules and the illogical destroys. In our nation, we have cohabitation. We have same-sex marriage. We have tried to devalue marriage so that it does not mean anything. Now, illogical reasoning goes on. If you are in our world and you stand for the basic biological truths of life, and you say that marriage should be between a male and a female, all of a sudden, you are cast as a bigot. You see, when you leave sanity behind, the illogical prevails. It is our country's moral center that has held us together. And in that moral center, it has been Christianity that has been the linchpin of our nation. And it is that linchpin that is truly being attacked today. Our nation has come to a point when it is fighting against itself. And if this is not corrected, there will be a fall. So Jesus presents irresistible reckoning. In verse 23, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not scatters abroad. Jesus points out their illogical reasoning, and he follows it with an irresistible truth of his identity, which must be received or rejected. They had been ineffective in dealing with the demon, but Jesus showed them that he had the power. He had more power than the demon. In fact, the power needed to get rid of the demon was the power of God. Jesus showed that he had the power of God. It was demonstrated in the fact that this man was immediately freed from the demon and now could speak. It only takes a finger of God, a small move of God, to prove that God has come onto the scene, that he is real, and that he wants to move into your life. You would have to be blind not to see the power of God moving in our world. How many of you know God is real? We know it, we see it, we've experienced it. We should share it. Jesus uses the story of the strong man. He said, a strong man has his weapons and is able to protect what he has, and with his weapons they are secure. In this case, the strong man is Satan. Now, Satan certainly is more powerful than we are. The demon that kept the man from speaking was of the devil and was stronger than the man. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, this one that is stronger is Jesus. Jesus is stronger than the devil. The fact that he was able to order the demons out is proof of his strength and the proof of his identity. You should not resist the truth of who Jesus is. I dare say each of us have seen enough in our life to know that Jesus is Almighty God. We should not doubt it. We should stand upon it. People have to make a choice. Your life will be controlled by God's desires or by the devil's desires. You can't be neutral about it. If you are not with Jesus, if you are not willing to follow Jesus, then you are against Jesus and you follow the devil. There is no other option. It's irresistible reckoning. Jesus goes a bit deeper. He tells of an unclean spirit that left a man, and that man was better as a result of not being possessed anymore. But the man made a mistake. He did not fill the gap in his life with God. And so that evil spirit went away, and that man had been his home. He didn't find a better place. He thought he would go back. The man was going to stay neutral. Because he didn't fill his heart with God, then he was open again for possession of the devil. And so when the evil spirit came back, he brought friends. And the friends were worse than the one that started. And the man was under greater possession and greater influence of the devil than he had been at the start. There's an irresistible reckoning going on. You will either bow your life to Jesus and he will bless and guide your life, or you will follow in your life the devil and he will bring his worst upon you. They asked Jesus for a sign. Really? He just delivered a man from a demon, and they want Jesus to give them another sign. Jesus has given everything he needs to give. Jesus says you won't get another sign except the sign of Jonah. Well, what's the sign of Jonah? Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. What we find is Jonah was a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The sign that they would get is Jesus would go to Calvary's cross. He would die there. He would be buried. And 3 days later, he would rise again. That is the only sign anybody needs. My friend, we have had the sign, the ultimate sign, that we can look upon and know that Jesus is not just a mere man. Jesus is the God-man, all God, all man. He came, he died for us, he was buried for us, and he rose for us. What other sign would you possibly need than that? When you look at what Jesus did, the reasoning of who he is irresistible. We should choose Jesus. But there are irresponsible renderings. In verse 52, it says, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you enter not into yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. Now these lawyers are those that were experts in the laws of God, supposedly, but they were experts in the laws of Israel. And Jesus charges the Pharisees and these lawyers with twisting God's word. They were big on an outward show, but they failed to apply God's word to their heart. They were big on pushing things on others, but they were not big on accepting the Lord's desires for their own lives. They made a false rendering of God's word. They made up their own rules, and they placed heavy burdens on others, and they weren't willing to lift a finger to help those that were in need. Jesus struck a nerve. The scribes and the Pharisees sought to lay a trap for Jesus so they might accuse him and kill him. But it's irresponsible to share anything but the truth of God's word. It's irresponsible. I cannot believe there are churches that will spend their time on anything other than the holy word of God. The truth is laid out for you and for me. Jesus is God. Jesus was born of a virgin, came to this earth, lived without sin, went to Calvary's cross, offered himself there. He did not have to. He chose to. He was suffered. He bled. He died there for your sin and mine. He was taken from the cross. He was placed in a grave, but he did not stay there. By the power of God, he came out of the grave, more powerful than death, sin, and the grave, proving that he is none other than Almighty God, and Almighty God has come to live in your life and my life, but we must make a choice. And if you do not choose Jesus, you are not neutral. You are not neutral. You are standing firmly with the devil. And you will spend eternity with the one you have chosen. Jesus says, those that don't gather in, scatter. Well, if you're a believer, then you've chosen Jesus. You've accepted him as your Savior. You believe that he is Almighty God. It's time to gather in. You know, people that claim to be Christians and then live like the devil, they scatter, don't they? They scatter people away from God and away from God's purposes. If there has ever been a time that we have needed believers to take a stand in everything you do. Yeah, you take a stand when you vote. You take a stand when you talk to your neighbors. You take a stand when you have an opportunity to come to God's worship or to worship online. You take a stand. And you take a stand when you invite others to join with you. If we don't gather in, we will scatter. Friends, our land has already been scattered. It's time for us to gather in, to reach out, to try to touch someone around us, to try to give somebody the truth, the irresistible truth, that Jesus is Almighty God who loves us so much that he gave all for us, that we might know him, that we might one day go to be with him. And there we will rejoice with him for all eternity. It's time to make a choice. Can't be neutral. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we ask that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to the decision of Jesus, Father, the decision not to be neutral in our lives, the decision to put you first, allow you to guide us, direct us, Father, to be not only our Savior but our Lord. Father, the decision to reach out beyond ourselves and seek to draw others to you, to reach out to family members that don't know you, to friends that don't know you, to neighbors that don't know you, to reach out to people, Father, that have once stood with you but now have drifted away, and to draw them back. Father, burden our hearts with the truth that it's time to gather in, and it is our job to gather in. And Lord, if there is anyone that hears today and they don't know Jesus as their Savior, Father, the truth is there. They can't be neutral. I pray, Father, that they would choose Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that you make this choice possible. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I hope you got your card filled out. If you're here and you...